Well, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says this. It says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? That's going to be the basis of everything that I'm talking about today. Just one scripture. Now, that's out of the NIV. The NLT says this. The New Living says this. It says, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? Now, that's it. But let me expound. Because this scripture right here has great, amazing significance for our lives and our walk with God. And really in life, if we think about it. Because what does it mean to walk together? What does it mean? The word picture we get from Prophet Amos is two walking hand in hand. So you can imagine, okay? This could be a husband and wife. This could be friends. This could be any that have agreed to go in the same direction with the same mindset, the same approach. You know, you're going the same way. You've agreed together to be on the same pathway. It's a simple concept. It can be applied to, like I said, friendships, marriages. It can be applied to churches. Have you ever heard of churches that are not going the same direction? And there's a division because there's two different visions in the house. One vision is going this way and another vision is going that way. And they've not agreed to walk together. Because if a church is going to walk together, you really have to walk under one vision and really under one head, Christ Jesus, right? And so we always want to know, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? Because that's where we want to be. So we have this concept of two walking together that Amos gives us. And of course, we can see this in our own walk with God. Because if we're to walk with God, it's important for us to come into agreement with God. Do we agree? Right? And yes, right. Amen. We agree. Because if we're going to walk with God, it's important that we come into agreement with God. Because guess what? If two are going to agree and it's us and God, guess who needs to change for that to happen? Now, some people think God needs to change, right? Whether they say it or not, their actions are saying God needs to change because I'm going my way. Well, and we can live that way. We can live separate, not walking with God. But we know if we're going to come into this union with God, this covenant with God, that there has to be agreement. And it means there must be change. And yes, we are the ones who need to change. The Bible says that God is unchanging. In fact, Malachi 3:6 says it very, very plainly. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. Can't be more plainly said than that. We have an unchanging God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a good thing because if his standard is excellent, his character is holy, he's perfect in all his ways, it's good that he doesn't change. And we can rely on who he is. So it's us to come into agreement with him. And there's plenty of areas of agreement. I can't even talk about everything as far as coming into agreement, but I hope you will extrapolate upon this message and see other areas that agreement is necessary in your life, because I won't cover it all today. I will just get into a little bit here. But there's areas of agreement. The first and foremost is simply this, the moral law. The moral law. I mean, just something as basic as the Ten Commandments. We probably all agree with the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not have any other god before Yahweh, before Jehovah, the one God. And these the moral law that we're given, we agree with those statements. Now we don't all follow them all the time, right? We agree with those statements though. But we know that when we have agreement, it's beyond just agreeing with the principle. Like we would all agree that thou shalt not kill is a really good idea, right? I mean, most people would agree that's a really good idea. Even people in the secular world would be like, hey, well, that, you know, that's a pretty good idea. Let's keep it. But we have to agree beyond principle, right? Because when we come into agreement with God, we come into agreement with our lives. We come into agreement with the way we live. And when we break these laws, we sin, right? We would say, okay, we sin. We've missed the mark. But then when we realize, okay, Lord, I've missed the mark. I've done things outside of your will. That's not your heart. We're quick to come to God because that's what the Bible says. It says, come to God. And it says, confess. Confess what you've done wrong. Confess your error. Confess where you've missed it. And then ask for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, and I'm going to pick up in verse 8 right before it, but that's okay. Just keep that right there. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just. And he'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So God is faithful. You see, back to God's faithfulness. He is faithful. But he's asking us to do something, right? He's asking us not to say that we're without sin, that somehow we're perfect in our ways, and so deceiving ourselves. But he says, no, confess. Anytime you have a sin, anytime you know you've missed it, anytime you're in error, come. Be quick. Be quick to confess. Because when we confess, we're saying, I'm wrong, right? You ever have to do that with anybody? You ever had to do that in a relationship? I'm wrong. Sincerely, I'm wrong. Not I'm wrong just to make you feel better, right? That's placating somebody's conscience, right? Just so that we can get by and have peace in the house, right? That doesn't, you know, that's not real confession. That's not really asking forgiveness. It's not with other people and it's not with God either. So God knows. He knows. You're just saying some words so everything will be okay or smoothed over. But true confession is saying, God, I'm wrong, and God, you're right. Your standard is right. Your ways are right, and I've really missed it. Now, that's not a one-time deal, because guess what? In life, we will miss it, and we have to come back to say, okay, God, you're showing me something here. I'm off. I'm wrong. Whatever it is, my attitude, something I've done, something I've said, how I've treated somebody, just, you know, just on and on and on. The Lord can show us something very clearly that we're wrong. And until we can get to the place where we can confess that and own up to that, we're still wrong. You know, it's still an error. And there's something that needs to be changed. So we come to God, we confess, and we ask for forgiveness. But because it comes, I confess I've done wrong. Lord, now I'm asking your forgiveness. And praise God, he says he is faithful and just. He will cleanse us. You see, I don't know about you. You ever felt that? Like what it's like with the Lord's cleansing my heart? Sometimes it feels like tears because he's softening my heart. He's tenderizing my heart. And sometimes it just feels this beautiful presence of God where he's just cleansing away some junk in my life. This is important. This is important for every believer. And we have to live this way. This is a lifestyle because we have to be quick to come to those places and not linger and just hold on to sin. This will keep our hearts pure, and it will keep our conscience clean. And that's important, right? Because we need to operate out of a clean conscience. And morally speaking, we will be much more sensitive to the Holy Spirit when our hearts are pure and our mind, our conscience is clear. You know, it's amazing how two Christians could walk in and say, watch a movie. But the movie has a lot of uncleanness and a lot of filthiness in it, right? One person finds it very entertaining and wonderful and laughs at all the jokes that are very sinful and just, you know, says, oh, what a wonderful movie. The other person leaves early because they felt in their spirit it was just, there was so much wickedness and agenda and everything behind it that's like, you know what, I'm not feeding my spirit with this. Like one was sensitive and one was not. And I'm telling you, you could do that as a Christian where you're like, hey, why didn't you feel the same way I felt? When it was obvious that there was a lot of issues, morally speaking, with that movie. That's just an example. That's just an example. We want to stay clean. We want our conscience to be clean. Where some things will bother us. And we'll say, you know what? I'm not going to feed on this. Now the Bible says if we have sinned, but we claim we have not, we're deceived, and the truth of God is not in us. This is also part of receiving the Word of God. If I'm going to receive the truth of God, if I'm going to receive the Word of God, I have to accept what it says. If I don't accept what it says, one, I'm not in agreement with it, and it's not going to do a work in me. I want the Word of God to do a work in me. The Bible says, for instance, do not bear false witness. It says, do not lie, right? And if I say, well, I don't lie, I always tell the truth. But then what happens when God shows me that I don't? Right? What if God says, oh, yeah? And it flashes a memory before me. It says, oh, yeah, except for that time. I always tell the truth except for that time. I'm pretty good about telling the truth. And then he shows you another issue that you have. Yeah, well, maybe I bend the truth a little bit, but I don't lie. I just kind of bend it. Or I exaggerate. Or I, you know. We start putting ourselves in a position of justifying, right? We start justifying ourselves in the things that we do. But God's showing that our hearts are not really pure in this area. Have you ever asked God to search your heart? Have you ever asked God, Lord, show me if there's any way in me that's not pure, that's not right, where I think I'm doing the right thing, but maybe my motives are not so pure. Maybe my heart is not so clean. Maybe I did this because I had an ulterior motive that I wasn't even very well aware of. Do you allow God to show you some things? And when he does show you some things, do you justify it? Right? I've done it. I've done it in relationships. I've done it where I'm quick to justify, but then God has to show me, yeah, you've done some wrong things here. You've done some things that you need to come clean. So if I'm going to agree with God, repent, and come clean, there's some things that have to change, right? I need to change my attitude. I need to change my thinking. I need to change my words, even maybe the things I'm saying, because the things that I'm saying may be missing some accuracy. What I'm saying could be wrong, even a little bit wrong. God forgives me, but I need to repent, right? I need to come clean. You know, any of us can choose to hold on to a sin. It doesn't do us any good to choose to hold on to any sin or sinful attitude or sinful mindset. It doesn't do us any good. And when we start to justify ourselves, if you ever catch yourself justifying yourself, you're by yourself. You see, justification by the blood of the Lamb is that God covers us. He covers all of our sin, everything, right? But when we have our sin and we're trying to justify it, we're on our own. It's just me and my sin. It's you and your sin, because we're keeping it from the blood. Because we're saying, this is okay. Now that, I gave it to you, but this, I'm holding on to. Why would we ever want to do that? So why would we want to ever justify ourselves? And sometimes even the little sins, right? But it says the foxes will steal the grapes off the vine if we allow it. Sometimes we have to get the foxes out of the garden. So be careful when you find yourself justifying something, a behavior, attitude. What, you know, I did it because she did it. I said it because he said it. I wouldn't have done it if they didn't do it. We can go in all kinds of ways and justify. But there's no benefit for us in this. We can know God's word and we cannot apply it. We can know what the truth is and yet we can ignore it. Or we can resist it. But we need to take hold of Scripture. Take hold of the word. Let the word do a work in you. Let the word do a work in you. Even if you're having a hard time agreeing with it. That's something, you know, there's some things in the Bible that you might read and you're like, oh, I don't know. Now, do your biblical study, okay? Do scriptural study, all right? Now, I'm not talking about whether you're amillennial or premillennial or postmillennial. That's not what we're talking about. because that's not a sin issue, really. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that are heart issues, they're sin issues, they're attitude issues. And I need to come and say, what does the Word give me? What does the Word say? And if I don't agree with it, and I'm struggling with that, Lord, help me, right? I mean, okay, let's take an easy one. But it may not be so easy, because in our culture today, our culture is pushing hard in this area. But let's take an easy one. That used to be, maybe 50 years ago, I wish I would say all Christians would agree. I can't say that 100%. But let's say the issue of homosexuality, okay? I mean, that's a hot topic today. I mean, you can get in trouble just for saying that homosexuality is a sin. But the Bible does. The Bible says that. And yet some Christians are teaching that it's not. And they've changed the Bible. They've actually made new versions of the Bible that says, no, it's not. But it's clear that it is. Homosexual marriage is not of God's design. God didn't design, one man, one woman. So some things are very clear. And yet some Christians will actually struggle with this. Why? Because two people love each other. So what makes that so wrong? So they come into some different ideas, and so they don't come into agreement with God. Yes, that gets into sticky issues, especially in our culture today. But we can say very clearly, this is what the Bible says. I'm in agreement with Scripture. God wants to bless. But he's not going to bless something that's not of his design. He's not going to bless when we're getting out of his will. And when we talk about marriage, we're talking about heterosexual, homosexual. It doesn't matter. Marriage on his design. Because there's a lot of heterosexual marriage, even in the church, that's getting outside of his will. That was not really the way of doing marriage. Or they're bringing sin into the marriage. Or things that are not morally right. Say, no, that's not what I designed. That's not how I designed it. That's not how you're to live together. There's a lot to be said that. I mean, that could be its own word on marriage, and I think we'll come back to that. But to have any healthy relationship in life, you know, I need to come into agreement with what is good, what is right. And when you start getting outside of that, then things can go awry. The Bible tells us that when we start creating doctrines outside of the Bible that are not from the Bible, that we can be deceived. And that deception even comes into the church. This was happening in the first century. False doctrines were pervading in the church. And Paul and others were standing up and saying, beware of things that are not God. It's not the Bible. It's not the Word of God. Don't be deceived. Because a spirit of deception can come into people, can come into a church. And we see that today. It is happening today, where whole churches are under deceptions and false doctrines. So we want to go back to the Word of God. Always go back to the Word of God, even when it's hard, even when it's a struggle. So to walk with God is to come into agreement with God's standard. God's standard is moral excellence. It's the highest standard possible. And it's hard. It's difficult. Because when we look at his standard, sometimes it's like, there's no way we can meet his standard. There's no way. But do we understand redemption? Do we understand the cross? Do we understand the blood of Christ and what he did for us? Because I think sometimes we look at God's standard and then we come up with our own standard. It was what the Israelites did in the desert, when they were looking at the mountain, and it was fearful seeing Moses up on the mountain, the lightning and the storms and everything. It was fearful. And they're like, hey, we want to get far away from that. Let's do our thing. And that happens even today. So we need to come into agreement with God's standard. To do things according to his way, not our ways. This is what the Bible says. It says Isaiah 55, verse 6. It says this. It's saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Leave that up there. Wow. God's ways, his thoughts, higher than ours. And guess what? It's not even close. As high as the heavens are from the earth. He's saying there's a big chasm between God's ways and our ways. There's a huge divide. But he's saying, let the wicked forsake their ways and the righteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. You know, God makes a way, right? This, you know, we come to recognize this, and honestly, sometimes we have to recognize how wicked, where we've come from and how wicked we've been, and sometimes how wicked we still are. Sometimes I will even look at my thoughts and I'm like, my goodness, those are not godly thoughts. Those are wicked thoughts. And sometimes you have to call it for what it is. Those are wicked thoughts. Lord God, help me. See, because that just, if it does for me, I hope it does for you, it draws you back to the Lord. It draws you back to God, because there's a revelation that my ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. And I may have better days and I may have worse days. But I know, it. Back to the song, it goes, how much I need you, God. Because I'm certainly not perfect in all my ways. I don't know about you. Maybe you reached that point. But I haven't. He makes a way. He makes a way for us to learn his ways, to grow in righteousness, to grow in holiness, to grow in godly character. He invites us into his divine nature. Wow. He invites us into his divine nature. Again, we've stood off, but now we're invited in to really know him and to know his beauty and wonder and awesome and perfect nature. God is patient and God is kind. He doesn't beat us down for everything we do wrong. He doesn't beat us down for everything. That's the devil, by the way. If there's just condemnation coming at you, that's the devil. And sometimes we have to realize what are our thoughts and what's the attack of the enemy, okay? We have to recognize that. But we do realize that I'm still changing and I still need to change. We still need to change. But God is patient and he's kind. God is unchanging. He's merciful. He is willing to bring us and teach us and show us the way. So we need God to teach us the way he thinks, his ways. But in order to do this, I need to have a teachable spirit. We all need to be teachable. We all need to have an obedient spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit, because we need to learn to hear, what are you saying, Lord? What are you saying? I need to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice in the Word of God. As we read the Word, let the Word bring reflection and meditating on the Word, and let it even unveil things in our heart. And we need to hear the small whispers of things that God is saying to us. And sometimes it's correction. Sometimes. And we need to hear that. So be patient also with yourself. I do want to say that, because God is patient with you. Now, you may be the person, see, some people fall into the condemnation side of things. And I don't want you to fall there, because understand the enemy will attack you in many ways and make you feel miserable about yourself. Well, that's not God. God actually loves you. He actually sees your future and the plans that he has for you. And he wants to speak to you and show you his ways. Actually, he wants to show you how to get there. So we're teachable and we're correctable. God wants to bring us to the places that he's designed for us ahead of time. But in this process of growth, in this process of sanctification, that's a big theological word, right? That God is purifying us. God is working in us. God's doing a work of bringing that divine nature to bear in our lives. Christ-likeness, right? And it takes time. But it also takes coming into agreement with God. This is important. God will show us some things and teach us some things. But we have the responsibility in hearing God to align our lives with Him. To align ourselves with Him. And start to think the way He thinks. To see the way He sees. Now you may think, how do I know when I'm really walking with Jesus? How do I know when I've got it all right? Well, I think that may be the wrong question. Because I want to look real quickly at a confession, a moment of confession for the disciples. Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And they are in agreement with Jesus. They're in agreement with the identity of Christ. But let's look at this. Matthew 16, verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And here comes the confession. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Okay, there's a few things I just want to pick out of this. Honestly, when Simon Peter was giving this confession, you are the Messiah, he believed and he confessed. He believed and he confessed. But did he fully know what it meant? No, right? Did he fully know what those words meant? He didn't. Peter and all the disciples proved that their understanding of the Messiah had many holes or flaws. Even as we stand today, I have holes and flaws in my understanding of the Word of God. I understand a lot, but there's really probably a lot I don't. There's revelation that I've not yet gotten to, but I believe there's a growing revelation. Just as the disciples were walking with Jesus, they had to give in to the process because it was growing revelation. They knew something that was true. Jesus, you're the Messiah. But they didn't know fully what that meant. They had a lot of holes and flaws in their understanding of truth. It was true. What they said was true. And Jesus says, blessed are you, for you're declaring truth. And you're declaring this not just as a propagation of truth, but you're declaring this over your own life. You're declaring this about that you're the Messiah, you're my Messiah. I'm looking to you personally as the Messiah, that Peter's doing that. But there's a lot of holes and a lot of flaws. But as they walked with Jesus, right? As they walked with Jesus, and then as they walked with the Holy Spirit in Pentecost and after Pentecost, as they walked, their revelation grew. Their knowledge of Christ grew. Some of those flaws and holes began to be filled in. But did they have to have perfect theology to follow Jesus? To agree with Jesus? They didn't. They didn't have to have perfect theology to agree with Jesus, to walk with Him. And that's what we have to understand too. There are things that we're not going to understand. There's things that we're not going to get. There's things that are in our understanding we don't conceptualize. But that cannot keep us from walking with Jesus. Because when it does, it all of a sudden creates this separation from us and God that's not meant to be there because we found a problem. Because we have a hole that we need worked out. But the problem is it's not going to get worked out right now. It's not going to get worked out right here and now. So what the disciples had to do, and I'm going to show you another instance here, they had to trust. They had to trust, and they had to walk with Jesus and let Jesus reveal. Let the Holy Spirit reveal. What does it mean that Jesus is the Messiah? What does that really mean? So we've got to walk with Jesus to grow with Him. We can't give up. We can't let go. There's a real trust in this whole process. And our relationship with God is dynamic. It's not static. So it should be growing. Our revelation of Christ needs to be a growing revelation of what's true, what is right, what is good, personally inside of us. You know, that's one sign that you're truly walking with God, is that the truth of God is growing in your heart, is growing in you. In fact, it's probably a sign that if you've gotten to a very static place in your Christian walk and has been like that for years, is you're probably not walking. You probably somewhere along the line stopped walking with Jesus. You're not going down the road with him anymore. Because probably somewhere along the line, you've disagreed, and you may not even realize it. But you got off the train. You got off the bus. But that's where repentance comes in. Why? Because let the Lord show you. Lord, is there any other time that I got off the bus with you, I stopped walking with you, that I'm just, I'm pretty static in my spiritual life. I've not been growing. I don't have this new, growing revelation of you over the last several years. Lord, what's going on? Is there something where I have gotten into disagreement with you? And I've stopped. This happens to people, Christians, all the time. They'll get to a certain point with God and they say, wait a minute, hold on, this is too much. Look at the disciples when Jesus says, you're to consume my flesh and eat my blood. That verse in John 6:54, Jesus gives a really hard saying, a really difficult saying. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said this before the cross. We have the benefit of reading these words after the cross. They did not have the benefit, but everything in these words points to the cross. Now, was it literal? No, it wasn't literal, but in some senses, yes. Because it was a literal death of his body and blood on the cross. So, yes, there was a certain consumption that Jesus is talking about, but do you know what happened? On that day, many disciples who were following Jesus said, I'm out of here. I'm done. This guy's crazy. He's talking about things that just are just more than improper, extremely inappropriate, and he must be a madman. So many turned away. But Jesus has this conversation with his 12 disciples. In verse 66, we'll pick it up there. It says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus says, you don't want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. And it says this. It says, we have come to believe and to know that you're the Holy One of God. Back to confession. This is what we believe, and this is what we're confessing. What you just taught, I don't understand that. What you just said is really confusing. I don't get it. But you, Jesus, hold the words of eternal life. We've come to believe that you're, and to know, to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God, the Messiah, the Christ. We believe. We're not going to stop believing, even though you just said something that just really flipped us out. And that really challenged us beyond our capacity to get it. Like, we don't understand. But we're not going to stop walking with you. You see, and in doing that, revelation and knowledge and growth was able to happen. See, for the other disciples, they left, they jumped ship. And they weren't getting that same revelation of Christ when they were following Christ to the cross. And then they found Christ after the cross. Because there was those who were willing to follow Jesus to the cross and to experience Christ after the cross. But they stayed in agreement with him. You know what I'm saying? This is what it means to agree with God through the bumps, through the rocky places, through the hard times, through the, God, I don't understand this. God, I don't get this. God, you've got to be kidding me. How could you be asking this of me? I talked about Joyce Meyer last week. God, you want to forgive my father who abused me? You've got to be kidding me. How can that be your will? How can I agree to that? What is God's will for your life? It's God's perfect will for your life because he wants to set you free, right? He wanted to set Joyce free. You see, agreeing with God can be hard. It's more than just the Ten Commandments. I mean, I agree with all the Ten Commandments. But then applying certain biblical principles and things that God wants me to apply to my life, it can be hard. To do things that God's calling me to do, can be hard. And I don't see, you see, if I rely on my understanding, I don't see how it can be done. I don't see how I can stop this sin because I've had this sin in my life for a long, long, long time. And so I've just given up. I'm just going to, you know. And so we don't believe. We don't believe. And we'll confess it. We'll confess what we don't believe. I don't think it's possible. This goes into all areas of life. This goes into the area of healing. I don't believe it's possible. You will confess what you believe. Whatever you hold to. And then when God challenges you on it, are you willing to give up your system and ways of thinking to take on his way of thinking? Because that's what he wants to teach you. He wants to teach each and every one of us his ways. So I pray. I don't pray every day, but I pray oftentimes. I pray, God, teach me your ways. God, show me your pathways. God, correct me from things where I'm in error. There are times where we don't understand God. And he's asking of us something that's difficult. But if we'll trust, you see, if we'll trust Jesus. See, there's the deepening place with God. Because when God asks you easy things to do, right? It's easy. But when God asks you something hard to do, your trust level has to come higher. Your trust level has to come higher. And your relationship with Jesus has to go deeper. So he'll call you to places that are not easy, that are hard. But it has a purpose and it has a plan. So be careful what you can, or sometimes hear your confessions. What are you confessing? Hear it. And then let God speak to you about what you believe, what you really, really believe. And does that line up with what God says? There will be points of tension with God. I don't care who you are. There's going to be points. There have been, there will be points of tension with God. But these are places to grow. Places of tension are simply places to grow. So if you'll look at it that way, not places to avoid, but places to grow. You'll see more of God working in your life. We need to trust God enough to go through the hard times and the difficulties, through the valleys. He's with us. He's faithful to us. He won't abandon ship. But he calls us to go with him. If you've ever been offended to God, maybe you have. Maybe you wouldn't say it. But you've been upset with God about some things. You didn't understand. You just didn't understand. And you had to wrestle with that. Lord, I don't understand. But he's saying, keep trusting me. Keep walking with me. Don't give up. Don't let go. I have a way of turning all things for good. All things. Even the worst of things. Our understanding is always insufficient. Because the way we see things, it's missing. There's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that are missing. A lot. And we'll look at something, and we'll look at the puzzle, and we won't see the big picture. We won't see it all. There's a lot of holes there. We say God's able to fill in the gaps and fill in the holes. And it may take time. It may take time. But that's where that trusting God and walking with Him, not letting go, just saying, I'm going to go with you, Lord. I'm going with you. It's a deep abiding trust level with Him. There's more to say. I can't say it all. I could talk about the rich young ruler easily, because the rich young ruler, I'll do it so brief. God said, you're a moral man. You're a good man. You obey the commandments. You obey the moral law. But there's something in your heart that's a real problem, and it's your riches. It's your wealth. Give up all your wealth to the poor. Let it all go, and come follow me. But what couldn't he do? That was Jesus put his finger on the very thing that brought the most tension. That if you had told the rich young ruler to honor your parents and honor your mother, says, "Oh, got it, doing it. I'll double down on that." But what if Jesus asked you the very hardest thing that he could ask you? What's the hardest thing that Jesus could ask you? For the rich young ruler, give up all your wealth. Because he loved it. It was his identity. It was who he was. It gave him things. It gave him power and prestige. He loved his money. It was, you know, that identity. To give it all up and then follow Jesus. See, that's the whole thing. Give it up to come and walk with you. Because Jesus was saying that you're not going to be able to walk with me unless you give up your rights. Unless you give up this identity, this worldly identity. He says, you're not going to be able to walk with me. And there's things even in the church where people are not really walking with Jesus because they're not willing to give up something. And it's kind of one of those things where I agree, but I'm not walking. I agree up here, but I'm not walking. I'm not giving it up. What's the hardest thing that God could ask you to do? I tell you, this is where discipleship gets real. This is where being a disciple of Jesus, walking with Jesus, gets real. Because the rubber has to hit the road at some place. So are we walking with God today? Do we agree with Him? The rich young ruler couldn't agree with Jesus. He couldn't. And he went away sad. Because he loved his wealth. You can't have two masters. It goes back to it. You can't. You would love the one and hate the other. And God knows that. So sometimes there's simply put, there's a letting go of some things, some identity, some things to take on fully our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ, to walk with him and let God shape us and mold us, form us into who we're called to be in him. This is challenging. It's hard. It's difficult. It's a dying to self. It's all that. But it's what we're called to do. So are we walking with God today? How am I directed by God's word? When I spend time with the word, what is the word speaking? What is the Holy Spirit saying? What is God speaking to me? Where are the challenges? Where is my life? Where is your life not in agreement with God? I'll be honest. I think we could go around the room. And every one of us, God could point out something. That this area, and it'll probably be different. If there's 40 people in the room, there'll be 40 different things. Where this area is not in agreement. It's not in agreement. Like, God's standing, he loves you. He loves all of us. He loves us. He wants more for us than we want for ourselves. But there's areas where we don't come into agreement with him. My prayer is that you would recognize the attitude of your heart. Your willingness to follow Jesus. Your willingness to go with him. Or your unwillingness in certain areas, whether they be big or small. My prayer is that God will work in our hearts today. Because walking with God starts with having a heart that desires to please him, that desires to honor him, to give him glory, with our lives, and to serve him. Because when we have that heart and that attitude, God can challenge us. Hard things, difficult things, and we can say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Because we know, we need, Lord, help me. I don't mind saying that. Lord, help me. Because I struggle here. I have difficulties here. But if we'll be honest, if we'll be real, God will. It is amazing. God will. He can turn things around. He can do amazing things that we have no idea, that we have to start confessing things that we do not see yet. We don't even see the evidence. You know, it's just the evidence that we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to have faith in what you say and what you can do, because I don't see it. I don't conceptualize it. I don't understand it. But God can. So what is the Lord saying today? That's where we're going to close right there and just pray. God, what would you say today? Where do I need to be in agreement with you?